Have you ever discovered your own reflection in the most unexpected places? For a 14-year-old struggling with suicidal thoughts, salvation came from an unlikely source, a verse about the Virgin Mary. During Quran class, a revelation struck. Maryam, beloved by God with her own chapter in the Quran, once wished for death during childbirth. For a teenager who desperately wanted to disappear from a life that felt suffocating, this connection was profound. Here was someone sacred experiencing the same despair. This epiphany coincided with another awakening, attraction to women, specifically an Irish economics teacher. The gentle curve of Miss O'Connor's neck, her lilting accent, these stirred feelings that matched what friends described feeling for boys. Meanwhile, boys themselves seemed stupid and smelly, their flirtations leaving only discomfort. This recognition brought overwhelming shame and isolation, nights spent praying for these feelings to change. The breakthrough came studying verses about Maryam rejecting a well-proportioned man angel. An impulsive question, did Maryam not like men, led to an epiphany. I'm not alone. There are women like me in the Quran. This transformed despair into curiosity about creating a life worth living. Sacred texts, once sources of constraint, became pathways to liberation as hidden threads of queerness appeared throughout religious narratives. After all, curiosity makes disappearing impossible. Growing up as a South Asian Muslim in an Arab country shaped a complex relationship with visibility. At 7, learning about jinns, supernatural beings living unseen among humans, became a metaphor for navigating simultaneous hypervisibility and invisibility. This duality manifested when Arab children would briefly include, before rejecting you, citing their parents' warnings about curry people. You became invisible within a racial hierarchy favoring light-skinned Arabs. In America, the pattern continued, hyper-visible during security checks while white students passed freely, yet invisible as a complete person. A Republican classmate defended this profiling as necessary in the war against Muslims. Through friendship and education, particularly works by Audre Lorde, bell hooks, and Angela Davis, you learned that racism, not race, was the problem. Like jinns, creatures similar to humans, difference never equaled inferiority. A child's question, "Is Allah a man?" challenges both familial assumptions and the notion of divine gender. The teacher's answer that Allah is neither man nor woman opens new possibilities of existence beyond the binary. This questioning deepens through studying Ayat al-Kursi and its masculine pronouns in translation. While she emerges as one alternative, it still confines Allah to gender. They better reflects divine transcendence, despite some viewing this as blasphemous. Gender challenges manifest in daily life, from street harassment to airport security encounters. The option to transition to male feels inadequate. Existing in between resonates more authentically, while maintaining solidarity with womanhood. Creation stories provide theological grounding. Adam, containing both masculine and feminine, created by a genderless God. This validates non-binary identity. Gender exists nowhere in these divine concepts. What better affirmation than understanding God as neither man nor woman, non-binary, genderqueer, they? Coming out becomes a recurring act of courage. The first instance emerges, helping a friend dispel his parents' assumptions, declaring, "I'm gay," during a Christmas Eve video call, authentic yet safer than telling Muslim parents. When the friend's mother dismisses it as being bisexual, it echoes the prophet Musa confronting Pharaoh's disbelief. During an immigration medical exam, telling an Egyptian doctor, "I'm definitely not pregnant because I'm gay," becomes a miracle, a difficult miracle, like Musa's, one that I didn't ask for, had no choice but to receive. Like Muhammad accepting his divine mission despite fear, courage emerges to share truth with Muslim friends who respond with warm acceptance. Not all responses affirm. A college friend offers conditional acceptance, accepting only private queerness. even in queer spaces, the burden of being the token good Muslim remains. The breakthrough comes at a coming out Muslim play, discovering a community where intersecting identities need no explanation, praying Maghrib without gender segregation, and meeting Zu, a confident butch Muslim mentor, provides a home where both Muslim and queer identities flourish. Falling for straight women became a predictable cycle of heartbreak, even skipping family Eid celebrations for crushes who inevitably confirm they're straight. Like Prophet Noah, who spent 950 years facing repeated rejection, persisting in hopeless situations became a pattern. At a queer Muslim retreat, when a gay woman shows interest, unexpected anger surfaces. The truth emerges. Rejection from straight girls feels safe and familiar, while reciprocated queer attraction feels frighteningly unknown. A friend's push leads to dating app adventures, though matches prove challenging, from questioning faith to objecting to poetry about privilege to sudden relocations. Like God's flood that allowed New to start anew, change arrives with Liv. Their connection flows naturally, culminating in a first kiss that feels right. Like New emerging from the ark, cynicism washes away, replaced by hope. What happens when your first memory is abandonment? Watching your father leave at age 3, amid tears and a nosebleed ruining your nightshirt, creates patterns that echo through decades. These nosebleeds become a recurring physical manifestation during emotional distress. Despite dating Liv for 2 years, vulnerability remains elusive. Queer indispensability emerges as a defense mechanism, becoming the reliable friend, taking on excessive responsibilities, maintaining an image of capability, all to prevent abandonment. Like Prophet Joseph, who made himself invaluable through dream interpretation after betrayal and imprisonment, developing exceptional skills becomes a survival strategy while keeping vulnerabilities hidden. This manifests in testing loved ones, tracking if parents ask about your life, waiting for Liv to remember conversations, creating scenarios to verify commitment. Yet Yusuf's story ends in reconciliation, suggesting betrayal need not be permanent. Recognition emerges of present love through consistent acts of care, Liv bringing soup during late nights, friends organizing meal trains, your community forming protective circles at protests. These gestures challenge the narrative of inevitable abandonment, opening possibilities for authentic connection. In Muslim spaces, queerness becomes invisible. In queer spaces, faith faces skepticism. In American spaces, immigrant and religious identities mark one as foreign. Each space requires hiding some essential part of self. The breakthrough emerges through reimagining sacred stories with a queer lens. Quranic narratives like Maryam's isolation and Hajar's resilience offer templates for survival that honor both faith and queerness. Finding community begins online with other queer Muslims before moving to in-person connections. Praying Maghrib without gender segregation becomes a powerful affirmation of belonging. A butch Muslim mentor shows how to navigate multiple worlds authentically. A relationship with Liv demonstrates cultural and religious coexistence, creating a home where all identities thrive. A camping trip with queer Muslim friends embodies chosen family, where prayers and queer love stories naturally intertwine. Sacred texts transformed from tools of oppression to sources of liberation. Traditional Islamic scholarship, viewed through a queer lens, reveals new meanings where faith and queerness exist in harmony rather than contradiction.